All right, good morning and welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April 4th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. It's supposed to reach 70 today. I guess it actually is going to be a beautiful day on the East Coast, even though it has been nice. This winter has been definitely mild. We might have had a snowflake, a few snowflakes, but we definitely didn't get any snow. We usually do, so don't know what's up with that. We did get a tornado, which is crazy, and unfortunately, I think somebody passed due to the tornado, which completely sucks. Sorry about that. Thoughts and prayers, T's and P's. But tornadoes in Delaware are not a typical thing. We have had a couple, but I think this is the first time someone has actually passed from a tornado since like a long time ago. So that sucks, but whatever, what's going on? What is going on, man? What's going on? It's Tuesday. That means I went to the meeting last night. Another great step. Surprise, surprise. I guess next week will be step 12, one half of step 12, and then the second half of step 12. I want to find a big book meeting. I do not feel like going back through these steps. I do not feel like going back through these steps and talking about them. I would, but I'm not a 12-step educator, right? I'm just sharing experience, how these steps have changed for me, how I've changed approaching these steps. And I honestly think that's the biggest difference for me as far as the program and recovery and sobriety and serenity is my perspective on how I look at this. I've shared before, man, when I came into this program, I had to, and I hate to beat this into the ground, but if you're a person that had to get sober, if you were put into that corner, if you had no more choices, if you had no more options, like the first step, you know, we'd become, our lives had become unmanageable to everybody else. That's not what it says, but that's how I say it, because that's where I was, right? That step, you know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, makes me feel like I'm doing something. Like, oh, I got a problem. I got to fix it. Let me make some changes in my life. No, that's not the way that it happened. Right? That is not the way that it happened. I had no more options. I was sitting on that street that night with no other options but to go to the hospital and chuck and jive my way into something to get myself out of that predicament. Everything that I had to do March 31st, 1997, March 31st, was something that I had to do. And you know what's funny is that I didn't realize it. It's April 4th, so 5 days ago in 97 is when I had that moment. But my whole perspective was different. But I didn't know either, right? I didn't know. You know, a lot of people come to the program and never pick up again. And I think, you know, that's great. I picked up again. And when I did that, it allowed me to, one, realize what a gift I had. Number two, what, just exactly how much I threw away. Again, right? And that it was all about my perspective. And when I got back into this program and I realized that this was something that I get to do, it's a privilege, I'm lucky, and not something that I have to do where I'm like handcuffed and forced to do this, because I do want to be sober, right? There was times in my life I did not want to be sober. I was thinking about this yesterday. If I went back and found 21-year-old, 22-year-old Tom and said, hey, man, you know, in 2023, you're going to be a guy who's sober, who has 14 years of sobriety, and who's worked a program, and you own your own business, and you have children, I would have never believed you.
Thank you. She never mentions the word addiction. Answer don't want for me. Yes, she'll tell you she's an orphan. After you meet her family.
I did not have any interest in getting sober back in those days. So the thought that that may be in my future would have blown me away, right? I was full of self and, you know, maybe, I mean, I wasn't by myself, right? There was a lot of us doing the same sort of thing. You know, I do believe that it comes a point in your life where you just become ready. I know that I, for a long time, was not. And then when I finally... Because even the March 31st, 1997, I wasn't ready. I had no intentions on getting sober that day. My day did not start off with a pep talk and how well we're going to do. My day started off just like every other day. I went to work, and like every other day, I got some vodka. And like every other day, I ended up in a bar running my big mouth. It just happened that I ran it off to the wrong person and somehow got in a fight, and my ego was devastated. And I just sort of became willing for an alternative idea. It would take years before I would realize that I did that because I had to, right? It was like that foxhole prayer. Please, what can I do to get myself out of this situation? Fast forward, you know, fast forward drinking and coming back and everybody leaving and losing everything and having that moment on that porch at about 4 a.m. when I realized, man, you had it. You had sobriety. Or at least you were in the room, right? At this point in my life, at on that porch, I was out of the room. I wasn't hanging out with people from the program. It was so funny because when I first got sober, it's like I was accepted. All of a sudden, I became part of a club, a group of a bunch of cool people, right? It wasn't like within days of my first meeting that all of a sudden I started running into people at grocery stores, and all of a sudden I'm waving to people. I had never been in that room. And the disease had talked me back out of the room. And so that night on that porch, completely out of the room of this program, I had that epiphany, right? That moment. Like, you had it, man. You had a chance. You were there. And you lost it. And you lost it. And when I was living like that, steps like this, all these steps said to me back in those days was prayer and meditation and God. And I struggled with God. How could I have any relationship with God? I was still sort of tainted with the opposite. And when you're tainted with the opposite, there's not a voice that says we should think and learn about God, right? It's like we should not. And so that's how a big portion of my time, early sobriety, and then back out and then finally getting back in, you know, I realized that this is a gift. I get to do this if I get one more chance. If I get one more chance, I'll never, ever disrespect this opportunity again. And I made that phone call, and that guy drove 4 hours to come get me to help me push myself through that little window again. And I haven't looked back since. You know, I would have to change the sobriety date a couple years into it with the pain pills. But like my sponsor at the time said, if you do not, you'll never be sober. You'll never find serenity. And I think he was right. And so, you know, yesterday I go to the meeting, and it is on the step, on the 11th step. And like always, my thoughts on this step have always been, you know, prayer, meditation with God. But I went and listened to those Joe and Charlie tapes, which I do recommend people check out. It is, it's old school. It's back in the day kind of stuff. But these guys are really smart, man. They know a lot about this program, way more than I do, way more. And I think they give the program a good name. I don't want to express too many of my opinions because I do not want to give it a bad name. And these guys do a great job. So I went and listened to the thing. I said, I want to check this step out before I go to the step. I'm, you know, for a person that has 14 years, I feel like I'm doing these steps all over again, right? It hasn't been that long that I realized that I get to, right? Even when I came back from the pandemic, I had to get back to meetings, right? I had to. And I did. I needed to get back to meetings. But the point is that mental shift for me, you know, the mental shift, my perspective, how I looked at it. You know, do I have a chip on my shoulder about this? Would I rather be drinking right now? I would not. I would not rather be drinking. I would not rather be doing drugs. I love exactly where I am in my life, even though it's not perfect, as far as just like, you know, worrying about money and that kind of shit. But as far as not picking up a drink one day at a time, so far we've been doing that pretty damn good. But, you know, back to this step, you know, and I read it right now, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And when I went back and listened to those Joe and Charlie tapes, one of them was talking about, like, the 10th step is for the day. Like, you know, if you come into situations that, you know, don't feel good, I know for me, when a situation like that doesn't really feel well, I definitely feel the need to clean it up if something like that happens, which might be an apology or just to clarify, right? But they said in those tapes that the 10th step is for managing the day, right? And that the 11th step is for managing at night. And I was like, what? I never heard that before. I never even thought about that. And so one of the things I like to do is I just like to sort of analyze myself and try to think about, you know, how I am with prayer, how I am with meditation. You know, at night when I go to bed, you know, and I, you know, the lights are off, right, and in bed, and it's dark, and I close my eyes, I can't see anything, right? It's like this veil covers my ability to imagine, and I don't know, it's sort of hard to explain, but when I close my eyes, it's just dark. And so what I do at night is I say a prayer. I say a few. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I say that prayer. And then I say, Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. It's like this one act of humility, right? Because if I was not going to be humble, I guess I would just lay there, I guess, in the darkness. I don't know. I'm not sure. But for me, I like to have a prayer before I go to bed because it clears this veil of fear. And when we read the step last night, it actually gives an example of a prayer that you can read or practice using. But the point is that it's this willingness, right? Sought through prayer and meditation. That means that I want it, right? It's not like, hey, man, you're going to have to go say some prayers and meditate to improve your conscious contact with God. I'd be like, oh, I'll check that out next week or something. But when I get to, right, when I want to see, because when I lay in bed and I say that prayer, Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you. This veil of this curtain lifts, even though my eyes are shut. And this might sound fucking bizarre, right? Forgive me. But this is my journey. This is one of these things that I find very fascinating, that I can lay in bed with my eyes shut and be in complete darkness. But if I say this prayer, if I take a position of humility, if I recognize that I'm not God and that I seek, right? I'm seeking, I'm sought. I sought through this prayer to remove the fear. And when I am able to say this prayer, that veil of fear lifts up and I can go on this mental journey wherever I want to go, right? I can focus my mind and see the sun. I can imagine the sun so bright that I have to turn away. You know, on a good night, if my mind is clear and I'm centered, but for me to do this, I really have to focus. And I think that's where the meditation comes in. You know, I had that, my buddy Eddie, you know, I used to do the spinning class. It was spinning and meditation. And he used to say, try to focus on a tennis ball. And I know that seems silly, but you can't be thinking about, you know, my financial situations and imagine a tennis ball. You know, I can't be worried about my clientele tomorrow or in the week and focus on a tennis ball. And so just thinking about it, I realized that part of my problem is that I'm thinking about so much, right? I'm worrying about this and I'm making these amazing adjustments in my life so I can do this. And it's all me, me, me. And when I take the time to focus on this tennis ball and drop all the me's, I can really find peace, right? And quiet. And that's when, man, if I can get that going on and I get that veil of fear to lift out of the way, man, I've had these nights where you can fly, right? You can fly above the earth and see everything in perfectly HD, right? And it fades in and out. I mean, if you have a great, if you're really strong and focused, man, I can't even imagine what we can do with our mind. I know that I can get glimpses of it, you know. I have these glimpses when I'm completely free of all other thought and just being humble and imagining, you know, the sky's clear, the grass is green, the trees are big, the clouds are beautiful. I see it all, but I can see it like fade in and out on the edges, right? It's like the fight is on. The fight is on to be that focused to a place where you can really go on like the spiritual journey. And so for me, it's about the meditation, you know, it's the quieting all of the other bullshit, shutting it all down. And, you know, I was thinking as a person who had first come into this program, when I first did the step, I didn't really understand any of it. But I know the person that I was at that time was a guy that was consumed by a lot of selfish stuff. And so I can see how suggesting this step or having this step part of this process is important, because I don't even think, I know I didn't realize how constantly I was not in the moment, right? Always worried about the future, always worried about the past, always reminiscing. You know, I spent a long time early recovery just sort of mad that I was even having to get sober. You know, I used to say, if I could just sit on the couch, drink vodka, and watch SportsCenter, I'd probably be drinking, right? You know, I was almost pissed off that every time I drank, I got in a car, I ran my big mouth, right? And like I had a resentment. I couldn't quite get over the fact that I had to be sober. I wanted to. I mean, if you'd ask me before March 31st, 1997, what I wish in my, you know, secret, that I'd be like, I wish I could stop drinking every day. But then once it happened, I was a little bitter. You know, not to, you know, inside. If somebody asked me, I'd be like, oh, I'm so grateful I'm sober. Oh, my God. But part of me would be like, you know, I do miss those days, right? But I hadn't quite gotten all the gifts, right? I hadn't quite gotten all the gifts at that moment. Today, I have not quite gotten all the gifts. But I've gotten enough gifts that I realize I love to be sober. I love to have the ability to meditate. You know, I love the ability when my life gets really weird that I can pray and turn it over. And it brings relief. I love the ability. I love that I've been taught that if I have a problem, that I can reach out to a sponsor or to somebody else that's in the program and just share, you know, and it cuts that shit in half. You know, I think everything through today. You know, I still have moments that are like, wow, this seems like it'd be kind of fun. But then I think it through, right? What's going to happen down the road, right? What if something happened? And I'm like, you know, no, we're not going to do that. It's just this stuff that we learn, because what becomes valuable, and it says in the prayer, it says in the step, sought through prayer. That means that I'm willing, I'm seeking, right? But I sought through AA meetings, I sought through a sponsor, I sought through reading these books because I wanted a better life. And I have. I've gotten it. So I guess my what I get out of this step, and it says sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And like Joe and Charlie said, or with God as we understood him. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. But like Joe and Charlie said, you know, this step is for the night. You know, and this is where I can sit down or lay down and practice my conscious contact with the higher power. And I experiment, you know, on my mind. I say prayers. I try to lift that veil of fear. I try to, you know, expose the love, right? Because it's all love. Life is love until the self-centered fear shows up, right? It's all a loving place. It's all good. Only problems I have today are things that aren't going my way. And, you know, it's not too bad. So if you're on this step, if you're on the 11th step and you're new, you know, talk to your sponsor about it. I mean, and if you have to be here, you know, if you're a person like I was that came into this program because I had no other choices, think about your perspective, right? Think about how the angle you're taking when you look at something like this. The angle that I took when I first did the step is completely different than the angle that I take this step today. The angle that I take this step today is a person that does want to improve his conscious contact with the higher power. I do want that better. I do want to be able to focus. I do want to bring peace in my mind. It's a big deal. And so, you know, just do it. Hang in there. Keep going to meetings. And then just sort of pay attention to how the humility and self plays a role in our lives. And, you know, when we're consumed by self, steps like this don't seem like something we're very interested in. But when we find that side of humility where we're like, you know what? What do I got to lose? You know, let's see what happens from this. This is a gift. Not everybody gets it, right? We don't all get this gift. It is not, it's not free for everybody. It's only free for those who want it. And I'm going to read this step here. I'm going to read the daily reflections. All right, here we go. April 4th, crying for the moon. This very real feeling of inferiority is magnified by his childish sensitivity, and it is this state of affairs which generates in him that insatiable, abnormal craving for self-approval and success in the eyes of the world. Still a child, he cries for the moon, and the moon, it seems, won't have him. The Language of the Heart, page 102. While drinking, I seem to vacillate between feeling totally invisible and believing I was the center of the universe. Searching for that elusive balance between the two has become a major part of my recovery. The moon I constantly cried for is, in sobriety, rarely full. It shows me instead its many other phases, and there are lessons in them all. True learning has often followed an eclipse, a time of darkness, but with each cycle of my recovery, the light grows stronger and my vision is clear. Yeah. While drinking, I seem to vacillate between feeling totally invisible and believing I was the center of the universe. I agree. That is, you know, that is a big deal. I remember when I first got sober, if you told me that I did a good job, I wanted to be president of the company. If you told me that I didn't do a good job, I wanted to jump off a building, right? I had no middle, right? I had no tools, right? I didn't have any ability to take, if someone says, hey man, you did a good job, I immediately like, I'm awesome. Where I'm like, hey, now today I'm like, all right, let me figure out what allowed me to do that. Let's see how I can do that better. Let's recognize where I improved and take it one day at a time, one accomplishment at a time, right? And in the past, if you told me I did a bad job, I'd want to fucking jump off the building. But I was such a different person back then. Today, if you told me I did a bad job, I'd be like, okay, what did I do, right? What is it that I did? What caused it? It's almost like, you know, and I think I've shared this. I almost do like a four-step on every little thing I do in a day, right? And so, you know, sometimes doing a four-step on shit that I did wrong helps me try to figure out what was behind it, right? Was it my ego? Was it my pride? You know, and then I can, if that does happen, instead of jump off a building, I've been taught that I'm allowed to just go up and make an amends, right? Let's clean it up. That's the 10th step. Let's clean that up. Hey, man, I apologize. If I said something, I apologize, you know. But these are, it's just, I mean, thank God, because I was so sick of wanting to jump off a building. And that's all about self, right? You know, I was that guy that used to fantasize about killing himself. I'd get drunk and then fantasize the way I was going to kill myself. Always because I wanted someone to recognize it, right? I've said before, the only reason I never killed myself was because I would have missed all of the wonderful things said about me. But man, every time, you know, anytime somebody kills himself, I always think, I bet they would probably feel different about it today. And, but I don't have those feelings today. I don't have to want to kill myself for attention. I don't have to be amazing today. I get to just be a regular, normal person, hopefully staying in the moment, handling these kind of things, and keep seeking. You know, I want to keep seeking more from this program. I feel like this program is just an introductory. You know, I don't feel like this is the end. I think there's still more. I think we can improve. You know, we get to that point where we do find serenity, and it is awesome. All right, well, listen, thank you. Have a great day, and we'll catch up later. Bye.
Keeps a lock of hair in her pocket. She wears a cross around her neck.